going to meditate in what is the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that comes from God. The gospel are not good advices. It's not an advice. It's not some things that you have to do in order to get to heaven. The gospel is not the four steps that you have to take in order to reach God. What is the gospel? What the Bible said about the gospel? What is this power of God? So let's meditate in this little text of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Bible said, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." It's very interesting, this text, and we are so glad that the Holy Spirit put this in the Bible, because and when we see ourselves, so now, do what the apostle said. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." So look one to another. What kind of people we are? Wonderful people. We're famous. The people know us. No. You know what we are? We are foolish people. We're not wise. We are weak. We are violent. We are nothing. We know that, yeah? But nothing in ourselves, nothing. Most of us, probably some of them, are popular or very good, admired with the people, but not too many. Most of us are people that nobody knows, nobody cares, despise. These people in the street, crying, these crazy people. And the Apostle Paul said, look yourself. Don't you know it? That most of you are nothing? Foolish, violent, weak people. But the Lord chose you. That's wonderful. The Lord, not us. Not because, I prayed a decision to serve the Lord. No, you didn't. The Lord decided this crazy man. I like this crazy man. I will use him. Because it's about me. Not about him. And more weak he is, more glory I receive. Because the people will understand that it's happening in him. Has to be something else. And look careful the passage. "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world in order to do what?" What? "The Lord chose you in order to," what, said the Bible?
"Bring the wise to shame."
Put to shame. Destroy. Destroy the arrogance of men. You know what? Why the Lord chose us? Because he wants to destroy the arrogance, the boasting of the people. He wants to destroy. He hates the arrogance. He hates the pride. He hates, really. He wants to destroy. And he decided to use us in order to destroy the pretension. And what is the pretension that the Lord wants to destroy? Simply, this is the arrogance. I don't need God. I can do whatever I want. Nobody has the right to rule me. I want to do what I want. Actually, I am God. This is the argument. I don't need God. And it's a foolish thing that can mean things. Because not only men depends absolutely on God. But everything in this universe depends on Him. It's very interesting. The Bible said that Jesus is the creator. Nothing that was created without Him. Right? And also the Bible said that He is upholding all the things with the word of His power. So, make the connection. He created everything. And He has to uphold Him. Why the things need to be upholded? Because He created, He designed everything to depend on Him. Everything. There is nothing in this universe that can function without God. He created, He designed everything to depend on Him. That's why He is working. He is keeping. He is the shepherd of the stars. He is calling every star by name. You know how many stars are? You know how many?
Not exactly.
Not exactly. Some people say that they think, the science think that the number of the stars are like the number of the words that all the human beings have said since the beginning. Can you imagine? Boom! And He knows every star by name. He's controlling, He's shepherding. Everything depends on Him. Everything. So, I'm sorry if I use a rude word, but it's the most stupid thing to think that I don't depend on God. It's like a fish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A fish can say, oh, I'm tired of the water. I don't want water. I don't want the ocean. I want to be free from the water. And if fish try to be free from the water, he's going to find what? Death.
The same as man.
Free from God.
And we depend on Him for everything. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every sense. Even in order to sin against Him, we are depending on Him.
So, the arrogance, I don't need God. I don't need God. And when that start, remember? Historically.
Yes.
In the Garden of Eden. Yeah? There is something very interesting. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, says something very strange. Please don't sleep. Are you awake?
Yes.
No. Yes? The Bible said that Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being deceived, become transgressor. It's right? What does it mean? We know the story. The enemy, the serpent, went approached to the woman and said, something wrong is with God. He's not allowed to eat of everything. He said, not everything. Just this fruit. Oh. And, you know, if you eat this fruit, you will be like God. And He's jealous. And He doesn't want. So, if you eat, you will be like God. And you will not die. And it was stupid because she was already like God. She was created in the likeness of God. But she was deceived. But what happened with man? Remember? He was not deceived. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He was not an animal who is in evolution. He was like God. He understood. You know what was the attitude of Adam? This attitude. I prefer to die rather than submit to God. I don't want God. He was not deceived. He knew exactly. And he said, I am my own God. And I will take the risk. I will be independent from God. I don't want Him. This is evil. This is evil. Why this is evil? You know, what is the definition of evil? Jeremiah 2:13. Can you find in your Bible Jeremiah 2:13. This is evil. Look what the Bible said. For my people have committed two evils. We know that the people of God have committed a lot of sins. But he said just two evils. What are the two evils? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and him themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. He defined evil. He said, my people have committed only two evils. What are? They left me. They reject me. Fountain of living water. The Lord is presenting to men, saying, I am the fountain of living water. I can satisfy all your longings. I can change all your thirst. I am the secret of life. I am the fountain of living water. I can satisfy you. You need me, and I am ready to give all what you need. And men said, no, I don't want. I will dig my own cisterns, and I will bring my own water, and it doesn't matter if it's poison, but I will drink that, and I will never drink for you. I don't want you. And it doesn't matter what happens. And I will spend the eternity in heaven hating you. I don't want you, God. This is evil. This is evil. I don't want you. I don't need you. This is the pretension. God created man in a wonderful way. According to the Bible, there is no other creature created in the image, in the likeness of God. Only man. That's why you see all the things that man can do. He can go to the moon and look at technology. They are wonderful. And not only that, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2 that God crowned him with glory and put everything under his feet. Who deserves all the glory and honor? God and God alone. And he shared, in some sense, his glory, his honor with man. And he gave to him authority over all. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. So, God was created in the image of God. And the Lord gave to him glory and honor. Why? Why? Which was the desire of God? You can think in the owner of a great company, and this owner put, what's the name?
CEO.
Manager. He put managers in his company. So why the owner put managers? In order to represent him. The manager acts like the owner. Give commandments and take the decisions. And the owner put him in order to be like the owner before the rest of the employees. The rest of the employees look at him and said, oh, he looks like the owner, but he's not the owner. He's only, again,
manager.
As a manager. So God wanted for us to be managers in this world, to act like God, to be like God, and God in charge of some part of his creation. And we can see the love and the care, because God wanted for us to enjoy in being like God. Man. The joy to be like God. There is no other being in all this universe more joyful than God. You know? Why? Why? He is the most joyful being in all this universe. Because he created the joy. Satan can be more joyful than him. He created the joy. He's the most joyful, and he wanted for us to enjoy on being like him. What a calling, amazing calling. He created in his likeness, and he gave his same work, his same, what, attitude? Whatever.
Attribute.
His own task, in order that we can enjoy in being like him. To lordship all the things. This is the love of God. But what happened with me? What happened with this manager? This manager said, I don't want to be submit to the owner. I will be the owner. And look, the owner has no money. Because the owner depends on the salary. He has no authority because all the authority was given by God. All what the manager has is given by the owner. Okay, so this is the condition of man, right? Yes? Yes? And now, that pretension, I don't need God, is destroying man, is throwing man to hell forever and ever, and is destroying everything, is condemning man, and that attitude is still in man. The same attitude of Adam is in all the people. Let's go to Romans 1, the last verse in Romans 1. Paul was talking about the condition of man. He has named several sins that man has committed. And look, verse 32. Who, man, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such sins are deserving of death, they know. Look, evangelists, they know. And they know that what they are doing is against God. And they know that they deserve punishment from God. Eternal separation from God. Death. They know. Be careful, evangelist. You have to have this in mind. Knowing that, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. This is the people that we are trying to reach. People who know that they are doing exactly what God hates, and they know that they deserve punishment, eternal separation from God, death, and they not only do that, but also give the approval of those who commit such things. And if we go to Romans chapter 3, we find what you know. 3:10, there is none righteous, no one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tongue. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery, and their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And look at this verse. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We have a problem. Because we have a lot of ideas from the anthropology, the sociology, the psychology, the secular science that change the portrayal of man that the Word of God is telling us. But the Bible said that there is no fear of God before them. No one seeks for God. they don't want God, deep in their heart. And the question why there are 4,200 religions, and the answer is so easy. They want to take advantage of God.
Of course.
But they don't want to submit. Man wants to put the rules. I want this kind of God. So I will choose between these 4,200 religions, and I will take what I like. Some people want to be punished themselves in order to feel better. And they choose these religions, terrible religions, that is submitted them, but they prefer God. But they are escaping from God. So this is the condition of man. Now, what can God do? If people hate God, man is not in a neutral position and you are helping to decide. No, they already took the way. I don't want God. I don't care God. Look, Romans 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of God, of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Okay, it's a problem that we have now. Men reject God. His heart doesn't want God. They are despising God, rejecting God. They don't want God. And God is calling them to repentance. Why? Why? Why to repentance? The Lord is saying, repent. Because I am willing to forgive you. You are despising me. You are rejecting me. You don't want me to be your God. You want to do the thing that you want, and you are destroying your life. You really need me, but you don't want to be with me. But I'm calling you, repent. But they don't want to repent. They don't care about repent. So, what can God do? He needs to destroy that arrogance. And the gospel is the way to destroy the arrogance of man. Otherwise, man will never go to God. Never. He needs to destroy that arrogance. He needs to let man understand. Apart from him, we can do nothing, nothing. We're destroying our life. This is the problem. This is the point of the gospel. And God chose us in order to destroy that arrogance. But how? We are full, we are little, we are weak, we are violent. How can he use us? In which way? Because the Bible said that. Let's return to our passage. 1 Corinthians 1. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised. God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. This is our task. But how? How we can do that? 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30. But of him, you are what?
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus. Who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in them. That sounds wonderful, but how? How we can be used? Well, he chose us and made a miracle in our lives. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. We are going to find the gospel. This is the gospel. I don't know if I could clear the problem. Could you clear the problem? Men reject us. God wants to save. But they reject him. And man is opposed. He doesn't want. And what is the Lord doing? Because it's about pride. I don't need God. So God chose those who are despised, foolish, nothing, the base, and made a miracle in them. And what is a miracle? Ezekiel 36:24. This is the miracle. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. His promises. I will take you from among the nations, gather you, I bring you. Who is doing this? God. Not us. God. Because we doesn't want him. We are rejecting him. All of us are the same. So he's taking us. Verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. What is that water? What is the only water that can clean our sins? The blood of Jesus! The blood of Jesus! Only but the blood of Jesus. This is the promise. This is the gospel. I will take you because you are running from me. I will take you. I will forgive you because I have already killed my son in order to forgive you. You don't deserve to be forgiven. But I will do that in spite of you. Not only bring us to him, not only clean us from our sins and idols. 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. What is heart in the Bible? The seed of all motivations, all our desires. He said, I'm going to change the desire because men only desire to reject me, to flee from me, rejecting me, despising me. This is the attitude of every human being. But I'm going to do a miracle. This is my power. I will take them. I will forgive them because I have already killed my son in order to do that. And I will change their desires. They hate me, and I will change their hearts. And I will put a new spirit, a new life. I will let them born again. Born again. I will change their desires. I will make a miracle in their hearts. And I'll put another heart, a heart
with the capacity to love me. That's miracle. That's the power of God for salvation. And look, not only that,
not only change us, but look, 27. I will put what? My spirit within you. What is it? My spirit. God gives hope. He is the spirit. I will enter in them. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God.
Oh, hallelujah.
This is the power of God.
Yes.
This is a miracle. This is the way in which He wants to save people.
Amen.
And that's what the Lord has done in us.
Amen.
And because the Lord has done this miracle in us, the people around, they despise us because we are nothing. And God wants that the people despise us. That little by little, they begin to see in us something that they need, really. He said, these people are nothing. Poor people, and I'm rich. I have titles. I have knowledge. I have the glory. I have many things. And look, these people, nothing. And look the way in which they face the problems. They enjoy the life, really. They have peace. They have communion. They are foolish people. But why? I cannot find what these people have. Why? I am miserable. I have everything that the world can offer. And these people are nothing. And love, the joy, the peace. What happened with these people? Kill them. Kill them because it's not possible. Something wrong has happened. Man can live without God. And these people are telling the contrary. They need to be killed. They are a bad example for our communities. But some said, to him. And he filled my life. Let me tell the story of the Lord, of what the Lord has done. And come to him in repentance. And he will never reject me. Those who come to me, I will not reject. Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? That's our task. We have to live the gospel and enjoy the gospel. That's why the Lord said, be always joyful. Joyful. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's our credential that we belong to Him, because in His presence I have plenty of joy and delight at His right hand forever. If you say that you are with God, the joy, the result of that communion. So this is our task as evangelists, to tell the story. I love to tell the story. Yeah? I love to tell the story. Tell the story. Not advices. Tell the story. Tell the, all the religions give advices. The 4,200 religions said, you have to do this, 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 and this, and then you will approach to God. No! We're not preaching our religion. We are preaching a person. We're not preaching, not even the way in which we can approach to that person. No! We're preaching the possibility that immediately, right now, you can come to Him, and He will receive you and transform you, and your life will emanate from that communion with God, from now and forever. Come to Him right now. You don't have to do nothing. Come to Him in repentance. He has the power to transform you, to clean you, to give a new heart. And He is willing to enter in you, and your life will be amazingly wonderful. Because the definition of
Christian life is what? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I live, in the flesh I live, in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself. What an amazing task that we are. But we are the temples. We are the method of God. He decided to choose us precisely because we are nothing like a vessels of clay with the glory of Jesus, the glory of the gospel inside of us. Outside we're nothing. But inside, God, the eternal and glorious God, is dwelling right now. And this is what the Lord wanted. So I encourage you to be part of this glorious task that the Lord has given to us. Leave the gospel, rejoice in the gospel, and proclaim the gospel. And what is the gospel? Jesus. Nothing else. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The secret is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. Who follows me will never be in darkness. Who comes to me will never be hungry. Who believes in me will never be thirsty. Every need, every longing is in Jesus. Amen. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. He is the gospel. And we are training ourselves in order to proclaim this story in the best way we can. But at the end, we are the examples. We are the presentation card. Is that? Presentation card. When a businessman come and said, how do you say? Business card. Jesus is willing to do all what this person said. So, come to him. There is nothing. Believe in him. Amen. So, I encourage you to continue this glory. There is nothing greater than this. To be part of his amazing plan. To reach people that hate him, but he's willing to transform him. It's a miracle. We don't know how it works, but he works with us. And we work with all of those who come to him.
Amen.
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 Amen. Our God and Lord and our Father, thank you for this glorious task that you gave to us. You could give this to the angels. But you decide to use the worst of people, and that's what we are, in order to show the rest of the mankind that your power has no limits, and you have the power to transform even the worst of the sinners, like me, and give eternal life, abundant life, a joyful life. And you are calling them, using us. Please allow us to be faithful to the story, to the message, to the gospel. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here, and encourage them to continue. Let them understand that this is your joy, oh Father. The joy of the Father is to see his people talking about, giving testimony about his Son, Jesus. Nothing can feel more the heart of God than hear that his Son is glorified. Oh Lord, give us the joy to do that, the delight in doing that. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for make us one with Jesus forever and ever. And thank you for the joy to proclaim the good news, the good story. The only way in which man can be saved. The name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.